In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the last Sunday of the Apostles' Fast, and the church has chosen a reading of when Christ sent his 70 disciples out to go preach to the Gentiles. And yesterday the church celebrated a very, very important feast. It was the birth of St. John the Baptist. And usually, whenever we celebrate a feast of a saint, it's always the departure of the saint. But only two people in the whole synaxarium do we celebrate their birth, St. Mary and St. John the Baptist. So the church is stressing how holy of a person St. John the Baptist is. He was someone that was born for a purpose, born for a mission, not just kind of he found it as he was going through his life. Today I want to talk to us about God's call for us, our mission, and what we can learn from the power of influence that St. John the Baptist had. We know that St. John the Baptist, from his mother's womb, was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that when St. Mary came to greet St. Elizabeth, his mother, that St. John the Baptist in his mother's womb leaped with joy being filled with the Holy Spirit. When you look at the life of St. John the Baptist, it's important for us to look and find out, why was he so great? Christ called him the greatest man born of women. He says he's a great prophet, and he's more than a prophet. Like Jesus wanted to say about St. John the Baptist, he's the greatest. When you read the Gospel of Mark, the beginning of the gospel starts out saying, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, talking about St. John the Baptist. He's living in the wilderness, living a life of prayer and fasting, alone with God. And then you read in the same chapter, it says, then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. So it says, all of the land of Judea went to the wilderness to go see St. John the Baptist, not just to go look at him. They came confessing their sins and eventually were baptized by him. Wow. If the President of the United States came to Fairfax, would he get all the land of Fairfax to see him? He probably wouldn't even get like 25%. But let's just pretend that maybe some people like the President. And we see St. John the Baptist could grab all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem. Wow! What was he doing? What made St. John the Baptist so influential? Mind you, Judea and Jerusalem, these people hadn't had a prophet for 400 years. Imagine this church if there was no priest that showed up for a month. What would the church look like? A prophet, no prophet in the land for 400 years. St. John the Baptist comes, all the land comes confessing their sins. All of them are baptized. What influence he had. Even Christ, when he wanted to talk to all the people about St. John the Baptist, he said, why did you go all the way out to the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Somebody who's shaken by anything? No way. He said, did you go to see someone dressed in fine, luxurious clothing? No, he said, if you wanted to go there, you would have went to where? King's houses. He says, but what did you go to the wilderness to see? He says, a prophet and more than a prophet. What would it take for one man to draw everyone out to the wilderness to go see him? Not just to see him, but to have their lives changed by him. Same thing you see in the early church. St. Anthony, St. Bachomius. He had 100,000 disciples in the desert. What would cause 100,000 young people to go live in the heat of the desert of Egypt to be discipled by a man? It's the power of influence. We need that same influence in our homes. When we come to prepare sermons, we feel like we have to put up a circus just for people to learn one thing. You gotta say funny jokes and analogies, and you have to connect and you have to do all these things so somebody could benefit just one thing. Let me tell you about St. John the Baptist. After he baptized Christ, he had all the people coming to him, even the Pharisees. They said, just tell us plainly, are you the Christ? If you're the Christ, we're gonna accept. He said, no, I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice. One is coming that is greater than I. Then, St. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming and he said, behold the Lamb of God. And it said just at those four words, behold the Lamb of God. His disciples left him and followed Jesus. Jesus hadn't done any miracles at that point. He had never preached one word. There was nothing spectacular about Jesus at that time in the eyes of the people. But John the Baptist could just point to his disciples, his children, and say, behold the Lamb of God. And that's it. It says, and they walked with Jesus from that day. How about our families? Do we have that same influence? Do we in our homes have that same influence where we point the eyes of our children, our spouses, our households, and we say, behold the Lamb of God. He's the head of this household. When we have a problem, He's going to fix it. When we have something that we need, He's going to provide it. When we need to learn anything, when somebody's going to make a decision, He's going to make it for us. Do we have that same influence? Our children are going to make a comparison between their parents and the world. St. John the Baptist could bring people out of the world into the wilderness to follow him. The world is full of pleasure. It's beautiful, has all these things that attract our young children, that attract us and our families, and it's luring us in, and the devil knows exactly what he's doing. How many of us can be the St. John the Baptist in our homes? That my kids one day are going to look and they're going to say, either the world or I'm going to be like Daddy. And they have to say, Daddy is much more powerful than the world. I want to be just like Daddy. And that's my dream for my kids, and I hope that's the same dream for you and your kids. That your children would look to you and say, why would I want the world? My parents have demonstrated to me so much power. I've seen my parents pray and they healed us when we were sick by their prayers. I've seen my parents, by their prayers, solve all the problems of our house. I've seen my parents change people to know Christ. I've seen power in my parents. I've seen power in my home. Christ is alive in this home. So that when our kids, they look to us, and they look to the world, they say, the world is cheap. That's a false sense of fun, or a false sense of pleasure. I want to be just like my parents. Set apart. Different. What's the secret behind St. John the Baptist's influence? So after the people came confessing their sins and were baptized, the next verse says this. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. It's trying to say there was nothing special about him. His hair was probably addikida. He was eating bugs. It was strange. But the whole world followed him. The whole world followed him. The whole world said, we will confess our sins. We want a new life today. Because of a few things. First, his humility. You see the way he's dressed. He doesn't care about the praise of others. Camel's hair, eating locusts. The mission of his life was, he must increase and I must decrease. Is that the message in your home? That in the eyes of my family, in the eyes of my workforce, the eyes of my friends and my neighbors, that everything I do, I say, he must increase and I must decrease. I must become less. And that's what we have to teach our children. That St. John the Baptist, as people were following him like crazy, he says, I'm not even worthy to unloosen the sandals of Christ. All eyes. He took the eyes of his children and he said, the Lamb of God. Focus on the Lamb of God. But what do we have now today among believers? If this were to be the line between good and evil, we try to get as close as we can. where we just lean over, we don't want to be on the evil side, but we don't want to necessarily be all the way on the good side. We like to play it safe, and that's the spiritual life now. It's the play it safe spirituality. Getting as close to sin as we can and say, Abuna, is this right or is this wrong? That's not what our kids need. That's not what our church needs. That's not what we need. We need people who are set apart and different. My kids these days are into superheroes. Spider-Man, Superman, Iron Man, every man. They're obsessed with these people. So the other day I was telling them a saint story of Saint Cosme and Damien. They were doctors, and they used to bring the sick, and they would pray for them. They would try to treat them. If they couldn't treat them, they would pray for them, and they would be healed. And they would preach to people about Christ. So the enemies of the Christians grabbed them, decided we're going to crucify them. They took them, they hung them up on crosses, and they started shooting arrows at them while they were on the cross. What did the arrow do? Came straight at the people on the cross and turned around and hit the people that were shooting the arrows. I'm like, I told my kids, those are superheroes. Spider-Man's not real. Cosme and Damien are real. Abu Sufyan is real. What is the environment that we put in our house? What do we talk about? Morsi? I was in a visit the other day. Little boy. Little kid. Abu Nahna'amal eh. Morsi gay. Allah. What are we going to do? Because Morsi is here, what's going to happen? Where's Jesus? Jesus, khalas, mafish. That's our houses. Politics and gossip and Morsi and this. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus in our homes? Do we invite the presence of God in our homes? Do we invite the presence of God in our social gatherings? Do we say, God, you are the head of our house, you come into our social gatherings. You are in charge of our problems. When we have a problem, you come. When we have work, you come with me. I invite the presence of God. We as a church, every time we gather, we need to invite the presence of God. No more. No more of our kids looking at us, not because we know a lot of the Bible, but because we live the Bible. I don't want our kids to say, these words are cheap. You say it, but you don't practice it. All you do is you gossip about the people in the church, or you do this, or you do that. That's dangerous, guys. You're telling your kids, we are believers, there's no power in this. But the world is going to present power. It's an evil power. The devil has a power, and he's going to lure us in one by one. The power of influence. The power of influence that we, as we enter into our society, it just takes one word. And maybe some people will come to believe. Some people will see the power of God because of the life. Number one, St. John the Baptist's humility. Number two, his humility allowed the Holy Spirit to fill him. The only family you see in the Bible, in Luke chapter 1, three people are filled with the Holy Spirit. Mom, dad, and baby. Zacharias, Elizabeth, and St. John the Baptist. Every time it talks about one of them, they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that the description of your home? Is that the description? Mommy's filled with Holy Spirit, dad is filled with Holy Spirit, and even the little baby. From his mother's womb, not even out of his womb, in his mother's womb, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's our potential, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But we have to say, no more of the world. We have to have influence. Christ sent out his disciples and he says, I want you to go infiltrate the world. Go and influence them. Bring peace to the world. And if they reject you, wipe the dust off your feet. There's two reasons why we get rejected. Sometimes because we really represent Christ and the world doesn't want it. And other times because we talk about him but we don't practice. So they say, this is empty talking. It's empty words. There's no power in what you're saying. You're sinning. You're talking just like all of us. You joke like all of us. You think like all of us. You spend your time like all of us. Where's the power in what you're saying? We have to be careful. Christ is looking for anyone to be his servant, to be his representative, to be his ambassador, to be his man or woman of this generation, and say, I'm willing to use you if you'll let me. And these disciples, they went in and they were casting out demons. The people saw power. People saw the healing of the sick. I pray that's who we are. These are not cartoons and stories. This is meant for us. What do we pray in the Agbaya? In the first hour, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then what does it say? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Every morning when you wake up, you should say, there was a man sent from God whose name was Abuna Paul. There was a man who was sent from God whose name was Fulan. And there was a woman who was sent from God and your name is this. And I'm going out that all through me might believe. That's what Christ wants of us. That's why it's in the first hour. So when you wake up, you know your mission. I have a mission to be the light of the world. God allows us to take part in His great work, to have the power of influence, but talk is cheap. Again, like I say, sometimes we can prepare sermons and we beg God, just let somebody, one person in the church, 500 people listening, let one person hear. Why not 500 people hear? Why not 500 hearts ready to be changed, to have new life in Christ? We have to make a decision today. No more worlds. I don't want sin anymore. I don't want the lust in my heart. I want to be filled with Your Holy Spirit, Lord. That my kids see You in me. That one word from me would make my kids desire Christ. Do your kids see you praying? Do your kids see you with the Word of God? The Word of God should be at your breakfast table, your lunch table, your dinner table, your bathroom, your kitchen. The Bible should be everywhere. This is the newest, latest, greatest technology. We spend so much effort getting every type of technology. This is the most powerful technology I've ever seen. You could take it to anyone in any place in the world. If they would read it, transform their lives. This should be in every corner of our houses, in our pockets, in our purses, in our Bibles, in our phones. It should be everywhere, that the Bible is everything to us, so that we ourselves would have the same power of influence. Every day, drinking of His Spirit, drinking of His Word. Because His words are life. And anytime you share those words, you are imparting life to others. Imagine. Imagine that's what God wants from you. How much God loves you. And how much God wants to use you. That if you were to share His words with His Spirit working in you, you would be imparting life to others. We need to become real believers. But no more walking the fine line. I wish today in the liturgy we would say, Lord, take me. I hate my sins. I hate the way of the world. I hate the foolish talking. Every time we get together, we talk about foolish stuff. I hate that stuff, Lord. No more of that. Take me as Your servant. I'm weak. I'm a sinner. Can You take me? Can You give me a new life? Can You change me? Can my family be the one where every member is filled with the Holy Spirit? You're dying for your son and your daughter to come to know Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You are here at the altar before the Eucharist. You are going to eat His body. You are going to drink His blood. You are going to be united with Him. I'm going to read the last verse of today's gospel. Christ says, "But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a great while ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes." You know what that's saying? For the people that were witnessing the miracles of Christ and they weren't changing, He's saying, woe to you. It's going to be harder for you on that day than it is for the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah. He's saying, if the same things that you saw were done in China, everybody in China would believe. If the same miracles that you see and the same words that you hear were heard and seen in Saudi Arabia, they would have repented. What about us? Can we repent? Can we say, Lord, take me. I'm Yours. No more of the world. I want to start a new beginning. Go to your father confession. Find a spiritual guide. Find someone to tell you what's the next step. That holy life of John the Baptist, being set apart, the life of prayer, the life of fasting, everybody came to him, confessing loudly their sins. Tell us what we have to do. Repent. We need to repent. We need to transform our lives by His Spirit. We need to invite Him into every part of our lives. And glory be to God forever. Amen.
We believe in one God, God the Father,